right. Well, the Bible is filled with amazing people. And most of them we recognize the names, Moses in the Old Testament, or Jesus in the New Testament, John the Baptist, the apostles, Peter and Paul. But also, the Bible is filled with lots of other names of people that we tend to not notice, people we just overlook and don't even recognize. And so that's why we're doing this sermon series called The Unsung Heroes of the Bible. We're giving a shout out to people that quite often are overlooked, and we're taking a look at maybe why is it that they're even mentioned in the Bible. I think as we go through this series, these unsung heroes represent the vast majority of Christianity. People who are just quietly going about playing their roles and having an important part in advancing the kingdom of God, but maybe not being recognized and not as famous as, let's say, Moses or somebody like that. So far, we've already covered Barnabas, a guy who, his name means son of consolation, was an encouragement to the disciples because of his generosity and also because he reached out to a new convert. He reached out to Paul, and as a result, Paul became one of the greatest missionaries in all history. Then Kim talked about Dorcas, a lady that just used what skills she had. She was a seamstress, and the Bible says she was full of good works and how she served other people. And then last week, Pastor Chip talked about Barzilli. I think somebody should name one of their kids Barzilli, Just a name, boy. Hey, that's my kid, Barzilli. Oh, really? Barzilli the Gileadite, is that right? The Gileadite? But Barzilli is an awesome guy. He hears about a friend of his who's in trouble, happens to be King David. David's running because a civil war started, and Barzilli says, I just want to help him out. It's my friend, and he refreshes David and helps a guy who's hurting. And these are people that we would say they're unsung heroes. They're famous, but not really. We don't think of them as famous. Today we'll look at another unsung hero. We'll be reading in the Gospel of John. We're going to be reading about a young boy who gave his box lunch to Jesus, and then Jesus, as a result, feeds the multitudes. What I think is interesting is in this story of an unsung hero, we don't even have the kid's name. He's the boy with no name. So we'll be reading in the Gospel of John this morning. If you have your Bibles, we'll read in John chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 1. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he had performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may even have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. What are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. So this is the story of the feeding of the multitudes. It's one of the few stories that's actually found in all 4 of the Gospels. And what's happening here is the fame of Jesus is now spreading. Everywhere he goes, people are gathering, they're crowding him, they're pushing against him, they're wanting to be healed. So it says, and after these things, what it's talking about is he's just tired at this point. And in the beginning of chapter 6, he says to his disciples, his friends, hey, let's get away for a little bit. And so they sail across the Sea of Galilee for just a little rest. But when they get there, and a short while after they're there, the crowds start gathering again. And Jesus, because he was compassionate and loving, decides, well, you know, let's minister to him. And so what's interesting is if you read this story, this is one of these great stories you want to read in all four Gospels, because you get a little piece that's added to it in each of the four Gospels. But in the other Gospels, it tells us that Jesus didn't just preach that day. He preached, he healed the sick, he cast out demons, but he preached all day. So it says in the other Gospels that the disciples came up to him, sort of tapped him on the shoulder. Jesus, be kind of good if you wrapped it up here. Can you imagine telling Jesus, hey, you know, you've been preaching a little too long here. Let's wrap it up. Just like the guts, you know. Anyway, they're saying, look, man, you've been preaching all day. It's hot. These people haven't had anything to eat. We need to get these people taken care of. They're hungry. And they're hot, and I think, what is that called? They're hangry? Yeah, you got a hangry crowd here, they're telling you. You better wrap this up here, you know. And then Jesus says, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And, you know, there's no fast food restaurants there. There's no food trucks. There's no food courts. There's no place for these people to get food, and this is a huge crowd. So it tells you down in verse 10, it says, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000, but when you read the other Gospels, you find out that there's more than 5,000. What it's saying is they numbered the men, but back in that day, in the Jewish culture, the men ate by themselves in public. They didn't eat with the women, and the other Gospels say the men were 5,000 plus women and children. So we're talking about at least 10,000, maybe 15,000 people, quite possibly 20,000 people. And Jesus says, hey, where can we get some food to feed these people? And, you know, Philip goes real nice. 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient. So a denarii would be what we would say a day's wage. So a day's wage, let's just say $100 a day, $150 a day, $200 a day. He's saying 200 days' wages wouldn't feed these people. So now you're beginning to see this is a big crowd. He's saying to Jesus, Jesus, if we had, we would need $10,000 or $20,000 to feed these people. Like if I was there, I think what Philip was saying is, are you crazy? What? We need $10,000 or $20,000 to feed these people just to give them a piece of bread. And you know, like, Jesus, have you looked at the offerings lately? I think we don't have that kind of money. And it says here, you know, Jesus knew what was going on. It says, this he said to test him, but he himself knew what he would do. So, you know, why did Jesus ask this question? We're not told exactly why, but we're told he was sort of testing them. And I think really what's going on here is Jesus was prepared to do a really significant miracle. And this just confirms it when he asks them, hey, do you have money to buy food? Philip's saying, we don't have the money. There's not enough food here. There's no way we're going to do this. And then Jesus performs this miracle. This is a bona fide miracle. This is a real miracle. He really made enough food to feed 10 or 15,000 people out of 5 loaves and 2 fish. So the question is sort of confirming the fact that he's about to perform a miracle. And in fact, he does. He feeds all of these people. There's so many lessons you can learn from this story. I want to talk more about the boy. I want to really just two things that stand out to me is why are we told that there's a boy here and we don't get his name? And then the second thing is just the courage or the character of this boy that he would offer his box lunch to the disciples and to Jesus, his box lunch, as though it would make a difference in feeding 10 or 15,000 people. Oh, they're hungry, Jesus, would you like my sandwich? You know, can you use my sandwich? I mean, what's going on in this kid's head? But just before we talk about the boy, one thing I always love to bring up is this thing about Jesus feeding the multitudes here. Don't you think it's interesting that he didn't just feed the multitudes, but that it says at the end of verse 13 that they took up 12 baskets of leftovers? Like, first of all, you just want to say God is a God of leftovers. He's a God of excess. Here's the question. Was this a math error that Jesus committed? Like he has the ability to multiply the bread, to feed the multitudes, and he really didn't know how much bread to make, so he just thought, just multiply it, I'll just make a bunch. No, he knew exactly what he was doing, and the excess was done on purpose. Because Jesus wanted to make a statement in the miracle. Look, I don't only want to bless you, I want to bless you in excess. I always find it interesting where people try to depict God as a stingy God. Or they'll even say, well, God doesn't care about your wants, he just cares about your needs. News bulletin, he cares about your wants. He is a God of excess. At times, he blesses above and beyond what you need and gives you extra. He doesn't do it all the time, but he's not a stingy God. And people who even imply that he's stingy, you know what I think that is? That's just them putting their own personality into God. The character of God is he is a generous God. And this is Jesus just going, hey, let's overdo it. That's not only, it says they were filled. Actually, the Greek word in there means they were like glutted. The best example to give is like what you feel on Thanksgiving. In other words, they didn't just get a little piece of bread. That's good. That'll carry me over. They ate all they wanted. Jesus picked up the food tab here. And he provided an all-you-can-eat fish and chips lunch. All you can eat. You can have it all. They ate until they couldn't eat, and then he had excess. But let's just talk about the boy here. So all we know about the boy is verse 9. There is a lad here. That's all we know. We don't know his name. And what I find really, I almost would say offensive, is in the other three Gospels where they talk about this miracle, they don't even mention the fact that they got the bread from the little boy. They don't even mention it. They just say, we had some bread here and Jesus multiplied it. At least in the Gospel of John, it says there's a lad here, but we don't even know his name. Well, one of the reasons we're doing this sermon series of the unsung heroes is because we're trying to focus on the seemingly insignificant people that get overlooked. When people read the story of the feeding of the multitudes, we think about Jesus, we think about the miracle, we think about all this food and how he fed this many people and disciples and the leftovers. More often than not, the boy is completely forgotten. But he's not insignificant. But here's the question. Why don't we ever get his name? Why didn't they just say the boy's name? Because right above it, it says one of his disciples, Andrew. It tells you not just Andrew. Oh, by the way, Simon Peter's brother. Up above that, we know it's Philip. But then when it comes to the boy, there's some kid here. Like, no name. So was that an oversight? Did the other writers just overlook it? Was it a mistake? Or is it possible it was done on purpose? Like, I like to believe the scriptures, every word, every story is like breathed by God. There's no overlooking here. And I think the whole idea that this boy, we just know that a boy gave his lunch. We don't know anything about him. We don't know his name. Kind of reminds me of a funny story. You know, I had a friend once who didn't have a name. I really did. Actually, I used to call him Lindy Wilson. And I remember one day we were sitting down and I said to him, Lindy, that's sort of a strange name. Is that really your name? And he said, no, I don't have a name. I said, what? He said, I don't have a name. I said, yeah, your name is Lindy. He goes, no, I don't have a name. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, wait here. He runs into his room. He comes out, shows me his birth certificate. On his birth certificate, it said, no name Wilson. That was on his birth certificate. I said, what is that? I can't remember exactly, but I thought he said he was the 14th or the 16th born in his family. And he said mom and dad delayed in the hospital naming him, and when they left, they hadn't given him a name. They printed the birth certificate, and they put on there, no name Wilson. Good thing later on, mom and dad said, we probably better name this boy, you know, so they named him Lindy. But here, we never know the boy's name. And why is that? Here's what I think. I think the reason the boy isn't named is because this is the way life really is. This is the way life really is. If there's anything I have learned in serving people in the ministry and prior to being in the ministry, I have learned that you can serve people and quite often you get unnoticed. You don't get thanked and you don't get told you're appreciated. I mean, you can, you know, you might help a stranger and they might not say thank you. You might give somebody something anonymously and they don't know it's you and you never get thanked. Or you may be part of a large group that does some great work or something and you just get overlooked. You're just a number in the crowd. Or mom and dad or married couples, you may have children who never say thank you. You know, I'm sure you've never experienced that. Or you may have a spouse who doesn't appreciate you. I mean, am I talking about real life? Is this the, you go through life, and the fact is, you don't always get thanked, you don't always get recognized, you don't always get appreciated. I think sometimes it's even worse than that. I think sometimes you can serve people, and you can help people, and they not only don't thank you, but then later on, they accuse you of being mean or unkind or something. It's like, man, it's like a punch in the gut. It's like, man, oh man. I can't believe, you know, if we're honest, I think all of us would say we appreciate being recognized, right? We appreciate at least a thank you. Thank you, I appreciate what you just did. I read this thing about employees and employers, and they're saying that employees in today's market are more interested in being appreciated than they are in the actual wage they get. But here's the thing. This boy's not thanked. He's not even named. We don't know his name. But here's what I say. He may be unnamed, but he's not unknown. He may be unnamed, but he's not unknown. And here's what I say. We need to learn how to deal with this in the serving of other people. Why do you serve people? I mean, that's a soul-searching question. Why do you serve people? Do you serve people because you thrive on their recognition of you? Do you serve people because your self-worth bucket is filled because they say you're awesome and I appreciate that and thank you and you're special and they say kind words about you? Well, here's the fact. The fact is you're not always going to get that. And the fact is people are going to let you down. The other three Gospels don't even mention the boy. They don't even mention him. He's nothing. Oh, they just, whatever. But here's how you learn how to deal with it. You learn how to deal with it because you get your needs met with your connection with God. I mean, this is reality. If you're looking for people to meet your needs, I mean, you're going to go through life and there's times they're just going to look right past you. They're not even going to know you helped them out. They didn't even know that you did that kind deed. May even say something mean about you, but you stand strong because you know you're known by God. You find your identity in Jesus. Your worth is in God, not in other people. It's nice to be appreciated. It's nice to be thanked. But I think life tells me that quite often that isn't the way it is. And I'm not looking to get my needs met by people. I'm fulfilled in my relationship with God. I don't serve people that they might thank me. And if they don't thank me, I don't get all upset about it and say, well, I'm not going to serve them anymore. I serve people because I love God. And because I love God and I'm connected with God, God's love moves out through me like it should through you. And you serve people. You serve them because it comes from the goodness of your heart. You serve them because you're doing the right thing. And whether you're thanked or recognized or appreciated, it just doesn't make a difference. You move on. And I think that might be quite possibly why this boy is never named here. Just all we're told is there is a lad here. And I think maybe it might be sometimes God has us be in situations where we're overlooked just to test what's in your heart. You know, how do you react to it? You get all upset about it, it might be showing you something. You just brush right by it and go, it's okay. It's okay. I'm serving God. And God knows. I'm walking before the one who keeps good records. And he's got his eye on me. And then just one last thing about this boy that I just think is so incredible is the fact that in verse 9, Andrew says, the boy has 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish, but he says, what are they among so many? I think it's impressive. The boy somehow heard that Jesus was wanting to feed the multitudes. He sees 10, 15, 20,000 people, and he says, well, I got my lunch. I'm willing to offer it. But Andrew says, you know, what the heck? What is 5 loaves and 2 fish going to do? But here's what I say. I think a little put in the hands of God can go a long way. And I think quite often we all hear that kind of voice in our head. Well, what can you do, man? What difference can you make? You see the poverty of third world nations. You see the chaos going on in schools. You see the problems in your neighborhood. You see the problems in your community. You see the problems in your extended family. You think, what can I do? Whose voice is that? What can you do? Mom, you got little kids at home. What can you do? Youngster, you don't have any skills. What can you do? You're too old. What can you do? You don't have enough money. You don't have any skills. What difference can you make? And the question is, are you going to listen to that voice? Here's Andrew. Look, the boy's got some food. What difference does that make? Jesus goes, that's enough. That's good. A little in the hands of God can go a long way. We have to learn how not to despise the day of small things. We don't look at the little we have and say, oh, that's all I have. You know, I'm convinced God can do what we cannot do if we will just do what we can do. Is that right? Let me say that again for you. God can do what we cannot do if we will just do what we can do. And here's the other thing. It isn't what we bring to the table, it's who we give it to. It's not that you just have 5 loaves and 2 fish. What are you doing with it? Who are you giving it to? If you give it to him, he can take your little, bless it, and it multiplies, and things happen. Stuff happens. I'm convinced this is a voice we've all heard. And I'm convinced that voice is the voice of the enemy, because he knows if we'll do with what we have, give it to God, stuff happens. Little boy, 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, feeds 10 or 15 or 20,000 people. Let me just close with this thought here. So Philip first says to Jesus, man, you must be crazy. We don't have enough money. Even if we did, we couldn't buy enough food to feed these people. Andrew at least says, well, you know, there's a little kid here. Maybe he's got 5 loaves, 2 fish. I don't know if that's going to make a difference. I just want to close with these 5 words here. There is a lad here. That's Andrew. I think the NIV says there's a boy here. I would just like to say, that's what I'd like to say about our church. There is a boy here. Maybe unnamed. There's a girl here. There's a man here. There's a woman here. You know, the unsung heroes, we all can be the unsung heroes. We're not all going to be Moses and Peter and John the Baptist. We can be the unsung heroes. We may go through life unnamed, but we will never be unknown. Right? You serve God. You serve God. Whether you're thanked, whether you're appreciated. I mean, I'm all about thanking people. I try best I can. I just appreciate, you know, the people who serve in these ministries, all, you know, children's ministry, ushers, greeters, hosts, clinics, worship team. I'm all about going, man, I really, really appreciate you. You're awesome. You know, thank you. But I know many times I just forget to thank people. You just go through life and I say, oh, man, I should have, you know, I don't mean to overlook anybody, and I don't think any of us do, but I'm just telling you the fact of life is you're going to get overlooked. People are not going to recognize you. But do your service unto God, because there's a day coming. And we know God keeps really good records. And there's a day coming when you stand before God and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my reward. Enter the joy of the Lord. I got all the records, man. You served me faithful. I'm walking before God. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. God, I thank you for the story of the boy with no name. And I thank you, God, that it helps us realize that being recognized is not everything. And that we may go through life unrecognized. We may be, there may be some of you in situations today where you're not being appreciated, maybe at work or in your home or in your community. and you're serving and you're laying your life down and you're giving and you just don't, you're not getting any feedback. I'm here to tell you this morning, you may not be named, but you are known. You're not unknown. Your Heavenly Father is watching you. And may your heart continue to be filled with the willingness to serve others because of your love for Jesus and because of what he's done for you, God. Help us to step into that role the unnamed boy had, God. That we can live without recognition. We're here and our needs are met because we're connected with you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. We'll take our offering, God. We wait on you, God. We need you in our lives. Holy Spirit, you are our lives. You are everything. I just sense here this morning, a couple thoughts I had as I was preparing a sermon, as I was worshiping this morning, that there may be some of you here this morning who may be in situations where you're not being appreciated, not being thanked. Maybe you're in a work situation or in an environment, husband or wife isn't appreciating you, kids aren't appreciating you, and maybe you've even thought of some thoughts like, I'm done. I'm not talking about abusive situations. I'm talking about you're in an environment where you're working hard and just not being recognized. Maybe you're feeling drained, thinking about, I'm going to quit. I just sense this morning the Holy Spirit wants to re-energize you and just fill you that your energy doesn't come from you, but it comes from God and it comes out of you because it's the heart of God, the heart of Jesus. And I'm sure there are some of you here who've heard that voice, the voice of Andrew, which said, well, you got something, but it's not going to make a difference. Or you really don't have much to offer here, and it's held you back for whatever reason, lack of funds, lack of skill, lack of talent, lack of whatever, and you've listened to that voice, and I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants to speak a different voice in you and say, use what you have. Put it in his hands. Watch what he can do. And I just want to pray for you this morning. If I'm talking to any of you this morning that might be in that situation where you're just feeling like you need some energy to press in and not quit, or some of you have heard the voice that said you don't have anything to offer. If I'm talking to you this morning, just hold your hand up. I want to pray for you. I want to ask that God's Holy Spirit would renew you as we sang this morning. I need you. I need you. Hold your hands up in the name of Jesus, all the way in the back there. You've heard the voice that says you have not much to give. Don't waste your time, and it's held you back. This morning you say, I'm going to give my 5 loaves and my 2 fish. Put it in God's hands. Let's see what he can do. You're going to listen to a different voice this morning. Hold your hand up. I want to pray for you. Over here, back there, all the way in the back. There you go, back there. Father, I pray, every hand raised right now in the name of Jesus, I pray they feel your presence refilling them with your power and your energy, God, that they go forth and serve because of you in their lives, God, that whatever their situation is, God, they're not looking for satisfaction in anything but you, and they sense it this morning, God, that you show them right now that you're the one who's watching, that they're standing before you, that they're serving you all the way in the back. You're serving him. You're serving Jesus. You're serving Jesus. He'll thank you. He'll thank you. Father, anybody who's listened to that voice that has said they don't have enough, what difference can they make? God, I pray this morning they would recognize where that voice comes from. God, they would press in and give what they have and put it in your hands. God, that they can see you multiply it as they put it in their hands, that they would listen to your voice. And you said, well, just tell the people to sit down. Let's have a banquet here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Multiply in the name of Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name.